3:7-8. Amen. Keeping things right. Amen. It always amazes me how the Word of God can be simplified to the degree that even a young child can understand it. The whole of the Old and New Testament can be summed up with just 6 words. Amen. Form. God formed man with dust of the earth. Deform. Man disobeyed God and fell from grace into sin. Reform. God established a covenant relationship with man centered on obedience. Inform. God sent prophets to teach men how to behave. Conform. Man chose to reject God's will and conform to the world. And transform. God gave his only begotten Son to establish a new covenant centered on forgiveness and love. Form, deform, reform, inform, conform, and transform. It's just that easy. And yet, we have Christians who say they can't share the gospel of Jesus Christ because they don't know how. Today, our text from the book of James will be oversimplified in much the same way. Here's the lesson today's scripture is boiled down to just 6 words. Ask right, yield right, and live right. Amen. Let's take a closer look at what James means. Oversimplified, look at verse 3, says, ask right. James says, look at verse 3, ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. You are asking based on your lust rather than your needs. My God. Amen. And when you ask based on your lust, it's not God who answers. Lust is nothing new. Lust is nothing more than desire for forbidden. Keep James. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Keep James, Mark. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Get to the Bible. Let's go to Genesis. Lust is nothing new. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. From the Bible. We dare say amen. Okay, Genesis 2, beginning at verse 9. Watch this thing now. It says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt eat of it, for in that day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now watch this. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, verse 25, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Watch this thing now. Watch this, go back. God, in creating a man and putting man in the garden, gave man permission before restriction. He said, every tree in the garden, you may freely eat. But the one in the middle of the garden, you cannot eat of that one. And Washington, verse 25, says that they were both naked, they were not ashamed. That's innocence. And what happens when a believer comes to Christ, God gives us broad permission and very few restrictions. And we come to Christ with a childlike innocence, don't we?
Yes.
But watch what happens. Now let's go to chapter 3. Look at chapter 3 in Genesis still. Verse 1. Now the serpent, oh my goodness, watch the thing now. Whenever God is blessing you, always look for the enemy to show up. We find Adam and Eve in the perfect place. Everything has been provided for them, has it not?
Yes.
God provided food, everything they needed. But look what happens in chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent, look at this. Now the serpent, Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. This is amazing. The enemy comes and is speaking to the woman, quoting God, he believes. Oh, you missed this thing now. The enemy is not always the ones outside the church. The enemy could be somebody in the church with you. I'll show you. And the woman said unto the serpent, verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. That was true, because God said that, right? And look what Eve does. Rather,
me take a commercial break here.
Most things in their self are not evil. It's the attitude and motive behind it. Facebook in itself is not evil. But if you're married and using Facebook to meet somebody else, that's evil.
Yes, yes.
Right about so far.
Yes.
Well, it's true. It's true. And that's the problem with social media, is that we got people professing to know the Lord, and they're with somebody, and they're using social media. I help you. I believe it's possible for a believer to go to the club and keep their testimony. Because you got some believers going to the club because they enjoy the music, and they're going to drink soda all night, and they have no intention of doing anything wrong, just going to have a good time.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with that. But then you got some folk who pretty leave the house, already know the hell they're going to raise. Girl, when I get there and that song drop, I'm going to back it up like it's hot. And then you got to say, even men, it's the motive. Most things themselves are not evil. It's the attitude that we take into them.
Come on.
Say, little bit going to the club. I'm gonna get some shorty's numbers tonight. I'm gonna take shorty home. Really? The club in itself is not evil. It's the behavior and the attitude you take into the club with you.
Come on.
The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Money in itself is not bad. You need money to live. But it's the attitude you're willing to do anything to get it.
Yes, yes.
That makes money evil. Mm-hmm. Come on, track so far. Look at this. So Genesis, I'm at verse, and the woman, look at verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Is that what God said? Let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 17 again. Let's see what God actually said. God actually said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Eve misquoted scripture. And that's why a lot of believers fall into sin, because you don't know the word.
Amen.
You don't know the word. So it's easy to get you, because you have no ammunition. It's like trying to shoot ducks in a barrel and you got a cap gun. So Eve misquoted scripture. But look at this, verse 4. Now watch this. Now the serpent knows he has in verse 4. Now he said, no, she don't have no word in her. She don't have no word. Look what he says now. He says in verse 4, and the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die, calling God a liar. And what he's saying is, the reason why, because God don't have no fun. And that's what the enemy gives you. You can't go to the club because God doesn't want you having no fun. You can't have no fun in the world. No. God gave permission before restriction. Let's watch this thing. Look at verse 5. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing, that's why God doesn't want me to. Because God knows if I eat, I'll be just like him. Huh, really? Now, our first parents, who knew so much, should have known they already knew enough already. Now, watch this. And the funny thing about people is, the more that something is forbidden, the more we want to do it.
Amen.
The more that something is off limits, the stronger our desire to do it.
Amen.
And God, look at Isaiah 17, of every tree in the garden, you can freely eat. So why is it that you have to have this one tree? Now watch this, verse 6, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. And when a woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof and did eat. Now watch this. Again, the adjuvant. We have people in the church, believers, who are with someone. God loves. Is not accepting or liking what God has provided. God says, I've given you a man, I've given you a woman in your life, but because you see somebody at, look at verse 6, that is good for food, desirable, right? Look at verse 6.
us, and that lusty eyes and achieve your desire. That's what lust is. We look at people. Now, one greatest thing God's created is human beings. There's nothing wrong with saying that man is nice looking and that woman is nice looking. It's the attitude and motive behind your look. Because if you look too long, you're going to touch. And if you touch, you're going to taste. Trust me now. Don't tell me that, oh, Pastor, we just fell into sin in the bedroom. No, no, no. It takes a whole lot of clothes coming off to fall into sin in the bedroom. Right about. And the bedroom began way back with a look. You looked. Then you looked for an opportunity to touch. And once you got the look, you got the touch. You just had to have a taste. Watch this though. That's the problem. Is that we're looking, tasting, and touching. We're in God's somebody in our lives that God has provided for us to look, touch, and taste. Look at this. Verse 6. And woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. He did eat. Watch this. Now Eve is a classic example. Not only was Eve a sinner, she was a tempter herself. She had to be tricked into sinning. Her husband said with his eyes wide open. Here's what believers will do. We want to do something wrong. What do? We find people who don't have as much word as we do, or a lot less word than we do. Uh-huh. And what happens is, if it's a weaker believer, because you know the word, it's a little bit word better than they do, you should be leading them not into sin, but into Christ. Amen. So Adam sits with his eyes wide open. And the problem we got a lot of Adams, and Adam was a honeydew. Honey said do, and Adam did. We got a lot of men, instead of being men of God, they're honeydews. Honeydew is good if you're a melon, not a man. Right about. Because it was Adam who left his wife where she shouldn't have been, alone near the forbidden tree. And we got too many men and women leaving their spouses alone where they shouldn't be, in an area that's forbidden, and expecting to be okay. And they fall, then you wonder how did this ever happen to us? How did it ever happen to him? You think back when you left the man. I think it's a shame that we have parents that come to church and leave their kids at home. Amen. Think about that. I know, right? Amen. You're heaven bound and your kids are hell bound. What is the benefit of you gaining heaven and letting your kids die and go to hell? About that. So, look at verse 7, and it says, and the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And the first thing that believers do when they get caught doing something wrong, they try to cover their sin.
Amen.
Instead of seeking forgiveness, the first thing they try to do is hide it. The fig leaves only cover the exterior. God is not concerned about your exterior. God is checking your interior.
Yes, yes.
We can dress and do church all day on the outside, but the church is not, God is not taking your outside to heaven. He's taking the spiritual man up to heaven. Amen. What good is it if the outside is decked all out and the inside is all jacked up? Amen. And what happens is, like with Eve, the first thing they say, well, I fell because I didn't know the word and I'm still growing. Well, I'll tell you what. If you've been in church most of your adult life, and you had a child that was 12, 13 years old, still trying to drink off the mama's breast, trying to get milk, you take that child to a specialist, that child would be something wrong with that child, wouldn't it? But yet we allow people in the church to sip and drink milk all their lives. At some point, I start eating meat and start living off the word of God. Every temptation should not catch you by surprise. And you should not fall for everything. The only weapon Satan has is temptation in his arsenal. And the only way he knows how to tempt you is by by watching what you like. He watches your pattern of behavior. So he says, okay, it has to be something that looks good. What color do you want? Amen. How tall do you want? Amen. Now watch this. So you want them tall, you want them bald, you want them jerry curl. That's what they call it. Amen. You want them with a shag, you want a fade. How do you want? How do you want her? Junk in the trunk. How do you want? Big, tall, short, fat, thin. What do you want? What do you want? And he will send you what you're seeking. Uh-huh. Not God, the enemy. And you wonder why you end up in a wilderness experience. What's a wilderness experience? I'll help you. You ever get caught up in something and you don't know how you got so caught up in it and you can't see your way out and you keep thinking you're walking out the forest and you're just going deeper into the woods? You know why most folks drown in the ocean? It's not because they can't swim. It's because they keep swimming further and further away from shore, and no matter where they're at, and all of a sudden they're heading back to safety, and they're going deeper and deeper out. And they get to a point where they just get tired and give up. Ooh, that was good. We got somebody this morning that's swimming deeper and deeper out into the ocean. You think you're swimming to safety? You're going deeper and deeper into the water. And eventually you're going to get tired and give up. Watch this thing. So back in James. So, and although there are legitimate desires which God only makes provision, lust refers to the desire for things that are contrary to the will of God. Amen. The Israelites lust after evil things is a perfect example of how our desires can get the best of us. You may just get what you ask for. Amen. You may just get what you're asking for. Understand me. I've learned this. Most, and look at Hollywood. Hollywood has some very attractive males and females. But yet they can't stay married to nobody. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You'd be like, wow, Halle Berry. Look at some of these females. Janet Jackson. And they're beautiful by today's standards, right? But yet, they can't stay married. Men have wanted these women only to find out it was not what they expected. Here's what happens. I'm going to help you this morning. Watch this. I'm going to help you. We right here. We're not. The enemy is like a car salesman. All he shows you and sells you are the bells and whistles. He never tells you the cost up front. Think about a car salesman. You go to a car lot, you see a car you like, you know, got a CD player, you got GPS on it. How much? Oh, we'll get to that later on. You want to test drive it? So Satan does. He knows how to appeal to you, to the bells and whistles in your life. I know she said she wanted tall. Okay, here's a tall. The bells and whistles. And that's what gets us. The bells and whistles. And he never tells us the cost. And the problem is, when you finally find out the cost of what he's offered you, it may cost your reputation. It may cost you your family. It may cost you your relationships.
Yes.
And most times, when he gives you something, you accept it, it always costs more than you expected to pay. Right about so far. It's always more than we expected. And one of the greatest costs, not just friendship, family, relationship, we lose your self-esteem. That's a horrible thing. You ever been so low in your life you thought a shotgun was your best exit? Seriously, I've been there. I was like, man, you know what? Why I keep living like this? I feel like my esteem was so low, I could play handball with the curb. That's low. Because he brings things into our lives and we get caught up on, it looks good. And what Eve teaches us this morning is that everything that looks good to you ain't good for you. That's what she teaches us. Everything that looks good to you, it ain't good for you. So I gotta be careful. You have to be careful. Watch this thing. You have to be very careful. So here. So, when we pray aloud according to our lust, it's important to remember that Satan hears that prayer. That our
spoke into the atmosphere, and as the prince of the power of this world, he is able to grant your petition. Because James said, be careful not to ask him. This way, be careful what you cast into the atmosphere.
I feel like this marriage ain't going nowhere.
The enemy grabs that. And you happen to have you living your life like your marriage is not going anywhere. I'm stuck in a dead-end job. He grabs that, and you'll conduct yourself as if you're stuck in a dead-end job. Amen. Why? Because he gets you to deny the fact that your marriage and your job are both blessings from God. So you might just get what you prayed for, and it won't turn out the way that you thought. Have you ever wanted somebody in your life, gotten them in your life, and you wonder how the hell broke out in your life, and you trace it back to when they entered your life? Come on now, I'm not the only one. You can trace back to the day and time you let that person in your life, and when they came into your life, hell came into your life.
Yes.
My life was nothing like this before you came into it. Come on now. I mean, we're honest this morning, it's the truth. There are some folks that you've been better off in your lifetime just leaving alone, but for whatever reason, you just had to have them in your life. And then you go, my God, what happened? So, point number two, verse 7 says to yield right. Look at verse 7 in James chapter 4. James says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Watch this. James is thinking of three things right here. Submit yourself to God. Submit yourself to God. Submit means to yield your authority to the authority of God. You're not calling the shots in your life anymore. You're not allowing God to direct your life. He says, yield yourself to God. Then secondly, he says, resist the devil. We're entering into the conversation. We're entering the conversation with the enemy. We're just going to resist and ignore. And what happens, it says, and he will flee from you. He will leave you alone. The problem is, I'll help you. How do we entertain the devil? Well, you find yourself at home with the television, watching things. When you're watching television late at night, are you watching to see what movies are playing? Are you just watching to see what movies are playing? When you're on the internet, are you surfing the internet or are you surfing the internet? Oh, somebody hit me this morning. Are you so far? It's this is how the enemy, he uses these things to get into our eye gates and into our ear gate. And what the problem is, whatever you allow to plant and take root in your life will grow. So if you want surfing the internet to grow in your life, keep surfing the internet. But the internet that you're watching is not based upon any reality. Christians have the power to resist the lust of the flesh. We resist through the power of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:24 says that the flesh with all its passion and lust must be crucified with Christ. Titus 2:12 says, we have to deny ungodliness and learn to live soberly and righteously. How do you deny ungodliness? And I deny ungodliness. Do not let ungodly people into your life. If you know a person is not thinking about walking with the Lord, a person not thinking about living for the Lord, why are you hanging out with them? Because the society says, bird of a feather, flock together. If you're not flying like that anymore, why are you hanging out with them? I know, I'll help you. Well, Pastor, I'm just witnessing to them every weekend at the club. Come on now. The reality is, if that's not you anymore, everybody who wants to be in your life does not need to be in your life. Amen. There ought to be a Christian standard in your life. Say, you know what? I don't talk like that no more. I don't act like that no more. And that's how you have to act. Then you know what? I can't be around you. And denying ungodliness, somebody's got to tell people the truth about how you feel. Amen. I think your life do bring too much hell. You raise too much hell. You got folks, and thank God for caller ID. When your phone rings, the first thing we do, we check to see who's calling, do we not? We don't just answer it. First thing we do, ignore. Because you know.
drama calling again. Whenever they call, it's never about you. Got certain folks in your family and certain friends. The only time they call you is not to check on you because they have drama in their life.
Yes.
They never call that. That's what the call say, how you doing? No. Whenever they call, they greet you with, hey, how you doing? And after that, it's all about them. And what happens is that mess, their mess, begins to trip into your life. And the next thing you know, their mess becomes a part of your life. And you're acting not based upon who you should be, but what they put into you.
Amen. Oh my God, I'm on track so far.
This is why you really have to be careful. Listen, so. Through the years, I have mentored many a Christian. I've been doing this, thank God, 25 years. 25 years of preaching and teaching. Mentor many a Christian. And I now realize that God sometimes teaches us to live soberly by giving us a cookie. What's a cookie? If we pray according to God's will, God will give us a cookie. What's a cookie? A blessing. You live right and pray according to God's will, God blesses us. And that's what keeps us going on the straight and narrow, is the blessings along the way. Are you with me? What's God's will? I said before, His will for you may not be a new car, but reliable transportation. God says He shall supply our needs. You want a new car, you need reliable transportation. You want a 3-bedroom house, you need a safe place to live. That's the need. It would be so far. And we get them so messed up. Amen. You may want a fashion model, but you need a good woman that you can trust, that your heart can rest safely in the Lord. You need a good man, a man that's God-fearing, that you can trust your heart to the Lord because He ain't going to do nothing wrong, because He fears God as much as you do. The reason why a man and woman do not cheat on one another is not because of one another, because they're relationship with God. Because you may not see me cheat, you may not see me cheat, but God is everywhere. And I fear God more than I fear you. That's why believers are faithful. And we don't allow ourselves to be tempted in testing situations we shouldn't be. I'll help you. I had said to a brother last week, I said, I may need you to drive some people home for me. He said, well, I said, because my wife has to go back to work. And I don't drive females in the car by myself. Because of perception. The Bible says to avoid even the perception of sin. Here's why. Because I drive them in the car, female. Now, as innocent as I know it is, and she knows it is, somebody sees, oh man, isn't that the pastor at church around the corner? Oh my, I know his wife. And that was not, and now we get real, and that was not his wife in the car. Then they add on to it. And I think he had his arm around her. You can't even see it on my car. But I think, yeah, and they were sitting close. I got a divider in the middle of the seat. But we put ourselves in situations where perception becomes what else is reality. Because people love to spread the negative before the positive. They will never say, oh, the pastor was just being somebody to ride home. No, that's too easy. He can't be just being somebody to ride home. There's got to be an ulterior motive to it. That's why it's important. And we have to watch ourselves and who we're around and how we conduct ourselves at all times. Watch this thing. Are we getting so far this morning? So, if we pray that God's will to be done in our lives, the cookies will come, and even better, Satan will flee. Watch this. If we pray for God's will, understand me, the enemy cannot be everywhere at once that make him God. He can't be in your house, your car, your job, your marriage, whatever. No. There are some things, we are in a cause and effect world. We like to convince ourselves, everything good in my life is God, and everything bad is the devil. A lot of bad comes through decisions that we make.
Amen.
And I said before, lust is not appreciating what God has provided. Because you don't like the woman that God provided, you start lusting after someone that appears to be pretty. Because you don't like the man that God has provided, you start lusting after somebody who seems to be taller, smarter, whatever. And again, those people are single for for a reason. And anyone, I gotta do it. Anyone that would get with someone in a marriage or relationship, do you really want that person? Because they're not faithful to the one that they're with. How can you trust them? Think about that. You got with this person on the cheap, and now you want, because it's you, you want to trust that person? I'll help you. The same way you got them, the same way you're going to lose them. So I'm trying so far. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 says, live right. Look at verse 8. Verse 8 in chapter 4 says, live right. James says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. I said last Sunday, God is as close as you want him to be. God says, look at the Bible, it says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw closer to you. If God seems like he's off in the distance, that's the relationship that you want. If God seems like he's right, I love the fact I can be in a room by myself and never be alone.
Amen.
I can feel the presence of God there with me.
Yes.
And God is so close. God should be close enough that when you're troubled and going through something, he is able to comfort your heart, but far enough you just can't walk up into heaven. Are you with me? Close enough that God can touch a troubled heart, but far enough that you cannot physically just walk up into heaven. But God is so good, every time you go down in prayer, your spirit goes right there.
Yeah.
Oh, mighty God, we serve. Look at this thing, God. He says, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Look at double-minded. The double-minded are the ones, this is why people struggle. The double-minded is the one who have one foot in the church and one foot in the world. Amen. During the week, they're raising hell. Sunday morning, want to live for God. Well, newsflash. God is an all or nothing type of God. The old folks just say 99 and a half won't do. You got to be 100% into this thing. He said, you double-minded. Stop straddling the fence. Stop saying you're living for God and you're acting worldly. Either you're in the church or you're not. The church is not the building. The church is you.
Amen.
You are the temple. You are the sanctuary. How's your temple this morning? How's your sanctuary on the inside this morning? Is it clean or is it cluttered? Think about that. God's not coming back and wrap up a building. He's going to bring folks that make up the building.
Yes.
My God. I said before. They said your mom may have, papa may have, but God bless the child who has Christ for his own. You got to know God for yourself. Watch this thing. So. He said, holy and upright living is God's standard. The word righteousness comes from a root word that means straightness. Amen. It refers to a state that confirms to an authority, that confirms to an authoritative standard. Righteousness is a moral standard. God's character is the definition and source of all righteousness. Therefore, our righteousness can only be defined in terms of God's righteousness. For example, like Adam and Eve. For example, Adam and Eve would have acted righteously in their relationship with God and that obeyed him because his commands defined that relationship, and the same Ten Commandments and related laws define any relationship with God. Man cannot be righteous in sight of God on his own merits. Isaiah said in Isaiah 64:6, we are all like an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is like filthy rags. We all fade as a leaf, and our sins like the wind have taken us away. The only way for a man to be righteous is to have God's righteousness imputed to him or transferred to him. Amen. Man came up with excuse after excuse for not living right. And man still comes up with excuse after excuse for why they can't live right. I'm still growing. Amen. The Lord knows my heart. Yes, he knows your heart. It is dirty. Amen. So God gave man the cross of Jesus Christ as a public demonstration of his righteousness. And God transferred the righteousness of Christ to those who trust in him. We don't become righteous because of our own inherent goodness. God sees us as righteous because of our identification by faith with his Son. Once we accept Christ and God chooses us as righteous, he have earnestly to live in right standing with God. Amen. You should go down at night in right standing and wake up the next morning seeking right standing with God. There's no reason why, that we should be able to just go out, say anything, do anything, and not feel convicted about it. Amen. There are things that we should not be able to say or do anymore. Why? Because we know how we're going to feel afterward. In the carnal person, actions lead and words follow. In the spiritual person, watch this. Actions lead and words follow. You may watch this one. If I never tell you I love you, everything that I do should show you how much I care. Amen. Right, buddy? If I never say I love you, everything, we never heard God say, I love you, but everything that God has done shows us how much He loves us and how much He matters. It's all love me. Love means you matter to me. When you tell somebody you love them, I love you, all you're saying is that you matter to me. You matter to me. I love you. Tell me about it. I love you, Devon. Why? He matters to me. And if he matters to me, I want the best for him. No, I'm sure. No, I feel like I'm kind of funny. Once we accept Christ and God chooses to see us as righteous, we should have a desire to live right. Can we do anything we wish because God's grace and mercy? The Apostle Paul said, God forbid. Righteousness is food for a Christian soul. Watch this. Because you're right standing with God, you're not free to sin. You're not. Why? Because the way you live, we have two believers. If I'm a believer, and I would never say this, watch this, I would never say that believers don't drink too many do. I will say this. If your believer chooses to drink, and you have a party that's going to have alcohol, don't invite a believer. Don't want to cause somebody else to stumble. And you got to think in terms of that. Is what I'm doing publicly going to cause a weaker believer to stumble? You know what I'm saying now? And that's because we should have love for, Bible says, have love for the brethren. If we have love for the brethren, if the brethren matter to us, we got to be careful what we do because we don't want to cause anybody to stumble. Some people want to say, well, believers don't drink. Sure, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. The old believer will say, it's to keep a little fuel in the furnace. A drink soda, right? But if the God that you serve allows you to do that, just don't let your liberty cause your brother to stumble. And you never know. Listen, I'm thinking about having to get together, and just so you know up front, there may be alcohol served. That way you can decide whether or not you want to come. Are you following me so far? So watch this thing. So Jesus said, blessed, happy are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they, happy are they which do hunger and thirst after right standing with God. You shall be filled. Amen. For the Christian, every waking hour should be occupied with thoughts of righteousness. Do you want your prayers answered? Ask right. Do you want to crush your flesh? Yield right. Do you want to belong to God? Live right. Amen. Ask right, yield right, live right. Six simple words, but in them lay the key to a right relationship with God. It's not always easy to change direction and learn to live right. I'll admit that. It's not easy. It takes time. Sometimes it means we have to bear our soul and only admit our faults. Don't pretend to have a sanctification you don't yet possess. Somebody's got to ask in your church, hey, just pray for me. Nobody should all your business with God. But somebody has to say, Pastor, can you and your wife just keep me in prayer? Do you follow me? Nobody needs to know all your struggles but God. And you got to be careful you share what information with because it may change the way they view you. Everybody can handle all information.
Amen.
Your past is the past for a reason. The Bible says that God has cast your sins into the sea of forgetfulness.
We hope that you enjoyed today's message. Pastor Valentine always brings forth a word that is applicable, situational, and foundational, and you can apply it to any area of your life. But if you are ever in the Albany area, please come down and visit us for our Sunday morning worship experience every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. at 82 Clinton Street on the corner of Alexander and Clinton. But more importantly, if you are searching for a church home, we ask that you prayerfully consider Living Word Bible Church as your church home. Be blessed.